no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory. On heavenly manna we're fed, while souls are the ocean in darkness, are starving for life-giving bread. They perish now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail, with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lastly. Greetings to all of the saints and my friends of the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. This is Willie Murphy speaking to you, and I am indeed happy to be coming your way once again by means of radio station XEG. We hope that each of you are well and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. We have so many things for which we're thankful. It is not necessary for a child of God to wait until Thanksgiving to offer thanks, but he should remember to do this each day. For our scripture lesson today, let us consider Galatians 6, 7. I quote, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now first, look at the natural plant life and harvest. From the work of seed sowing and the growth of the plant from the seed, precious lessons may be taught in the family and the school. Let the children and young people learn to recognize in natural things the working of divine agencies, and they will be enabled to grasp by faith unseen benefits. As they come to understand the wonderful work of God in supplying the wants of His great family and how we are to cooperate with Him, they will have more faith in God and will realize more of His power in their own daily life. God created the seed as He created the earth, by His word. By His word He gave it power to grow and multiply. He said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. Genesis 1, 11 and 12. It is that word which still causes the seed to grow. Every seed that sends up its green blade to the sunlight declares the wonder-working power of that word uttered by Him who spake and it was, who commanded and it stood fast. Psalms 33, 9. Christ taught His disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," see Matthew 6, 11. And pointing to the flowers, He gave them the assurance, "If God so clothe the grass of the field, shall He not much more clothe you?" Matthew 6, 30. Christ is constantly working to answer this prayer and to make good this assurance. There is an invisible power constantly at work as man's servant to feed and to clothe him. Many agencies our Lord employs to make the seed, apparently thrown away, a living plant, and He supplies in due proportion all that is required to perfect the harvest. And the beautiful words of the psalmist in Psalm 65, 10, 13, we read, Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now the material world is under God's control. The laws of nature are obeyed by nature. Everything speaks and acts the will of the Creator. Cloud and sunshine, dew and rain, wind and storm, all are under the supervision of God and yield implicit obedience to His command. It is in obedience to the law of God that the spire of grain bursts through the ground. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Mark 4:28. These the Lord develops in their proper season because they do not resist His will. And can it be that man, made in the image of God, endowed with reason and speech, shall alone be unappreciative of His gifts and disobedient to His will? Shall rational beings alone cause confusion in our world? Now, having seen the natural laws and how the harvest is produced, look also at the spiritual side of things. In the laws of God and nature, effect follows cause with unerring certainty. The reaping will testify as to what the sowing has been. The slothful worker is condemned by his work. The harvest bears witness against him. So in the spiritual things, the faithfulness of every worker is measured by the results of his work. The character of his work, whether diligent or slothful, is revealed by the harvest. It is thus that his destiny for eternity is decided. Every seed sown produces a harvest of its kind. So it is in human life. We all need to sow the seeds of compassion, sympathy, and love, for we shall reap what we sow. Every characteristic of selfishness, self-love, self-esteem, every act of self-indulgence will bring forth a like harvest. He who lives for self is sowing to the flesh, and of the flesh he shall reap corruption. God destroys no man. Everyone who is destroyed will have destroyed himself. Everyone who stifles the admonitions of conscience is sowing the seeds of unbelief, and these will produce a sure harvest. By rejecting the first warning from God, Pharaoh of old sowed the seeds of disobedience, and he reaped the results of his disobedience. God did not compel him to disbelieve. The seed of unbelief which he sowed produced a harvest of its kind. Thus his resistance continued until he looked upon his devastated land, upon the cold, dead form of his firstborn, and the firstborn of all in his house and of all the families in his kingdom, until the waters of the sea closed over his horses and his chariots and his men of war. His history is a fearful illustration of the truth of the words that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let us not forget that text. Could men but realize this, they would be careful what seed they sow. As the seed sown produces a harvest, and this in turn is sown, the harvest is multiplied. In our relation to others, this law holds true. Every act, every word is a seed that will bear fruit. Every deed of thoughtful kindness, of obedience, or of self-denial will reproduce itself in others and through them instill others. So every act of envy, malice, or dissension is a seed that will spring up in a root of bitterness, whereby many shall be defiled. And how much larger number will the many poison? Thus the sowing of good and evil goes on for time and eternity. Now let us go one step further and see how Christ brought to us His great plan of salvation and redemption. The price was not a small one. By the casting of the grain into the soil, Christ represents the sacrifice himself for our redemption. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he says, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, John 12:24. So the death of Christ will result in fruit for the kingdom of God. In accordance with the law of the vegetable kingdom, life will be the result of his death. And all who would bring forth fruit as workers together with Christ must first fall into the ground and die. The life must be cast into the furrow of the world's need. Self-love, self-interest must perish. But the law of self-sacrifice is the law of self-preservation. The seed buried in the ground produces fruit, and in turn, this is planted. Thus, the harvest is multiplied. The husbandman preserves his grain by casting it away. So in human life, to give is to live. The life that will be preserved is the life that is freely given in service to God and man. Those who for Christ's sake sacrifice their life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Let us not forget the text, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Shall we spend a moment in prayer? Our Father, we pray that we may have both the wisdom and willingness to obey the laws of God. Help us to sow good seed, that when the time of reaping comes, we may rejoice forever in thy favor. For in the name of Christ our Savior, we ask it. Amen. Now listen to this song by Lynn and Alma Carver, Arnett and Genevieve Carver, "There's Honey in the Rock."
Have you tasted the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. Oh, there's honey in the rock for you, for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you, for you. Do you pray unto God the Father? What wilt thou have me to do? Never fear, he will surely answer. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you.
This broadcast has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. And this is your speaker, Willie Murphy, saying, may God's richest blessings be yours. Tune in and be with us again next Friday night at 11 o'clock. And until then, may God bless each and every one with his richest blessings. A very pleasant good night.
There's honey in the